Welcome back, everyone, to Foster the Podcast. This is the second part of last week's episode. This week, we're going to talk about a strange request that a woman got. We're also going to talk about when sex drops off in a relationship and ways that you can spice it up. So follow us on Instagram at Justin Comic. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, The Justin Foster, to get visual portions of the show. And enjoy part two of That Seems Like a Lot. Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no! A woman found a note on her car. A 29-year-old woman found a note on her car that said, hello, I think that you are very attractive. If you are interested, I would like to pay you cash for your panties. So, not super weird, probably very off-putting for a woman, right?
Very off-putting for a woman.
I think the weird part was when he said, I'll meet you on the side of the road back to town, just pull over and I'll find you. And so that's when she felt unsafe and went to the authorities and stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
But, just all-around weird situation on, I mean, very unfortunate for her to be harassed and to, like, feel unsafe, but also just, like, why?
Right.
Because why?
Right.
Because you want a stranger's panties that you think is kind of cute?
Right. Maybe that's it.
There's websites where you can buy porn stars' panties.
But the thing is, someone wanting a stranger's underwear, if that's your fetish, that's whatever. My immediate thought would be, if I give this person my underwear, what's the next? Now they know where I live. They know what my car looks like.
Right.
They've obviously been watching me from afar. Like, how long until they also want to wear my skin?
Right. Right. For no money.
For $0.
For $0.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be a woman. Do you have a price as a 29-year-old woman?
Of what?
Just big. Like, what's your price? Like,
in that situation?
No, but minus the last part. Minus the, I'll meet you on the side of the road. Some weird dude was like, hey, I think you're cute. Can I buy some of your underwear off of you?
Man. I don't know. There's definitely a price. I'm not going to act like there's not a price.
There's always a price.
There's definitely a price, but I don't know what it is.
You don't know what the number is?
That feels like a gateway. It feels like a gateway transaction is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I give this person my underwear and then receive money, like, I've got to relocate. I've got to use some of this. It's got to be enough money that I can move somewhere and buy a new car with a new license plate.
Right.
You know, like,
new underwear.
Evade this psychopath.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's got a suit and tie on, business guy, real high level executive. Wife and him have been together a long time.
Not make anyone not a psychopath.
Couple of kids, sex life's a little bit boring. Yeah, you know, what's your price? I got you. He's got a blank check.
None of that makes me think that this person is not going to murderize me and stick me in a trunk.
Actually, the rich business guy is more likely to do that.
Scarier. A crazy homeless guy asking me for my underwear, I might just throw them to him just so he can have a nice day. You know what I'm saying? Like, the psychopath businessman approaching me, like,
the
that's
American
like
psycho. Yeah.
100%. That's gonna go much more poorly than anything else.
I'm completely joking. I don't think that I would say no. No matter what the price is.
Yeah.
Because no
it's
way.
A gateway transaction.
Yeah. There's no way that it ends well. It's not like he gets one pair of your underwear and it's like, thank you very much. Would you like a receipt?
And and then it disappears forever.
You guys go your separate ways.
But that's what I'm saying. It's got to be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be like $1 million price tag because I've got to be able to like unidentify
get
myself.
Gone.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Because I'm pretty sure you're coming for something else
for
next.
For sure, right?
100%.
Didn't we have a guest on our show one time that was saying that she would do that? I swear when I read this story, all I could think about was an episode of Foster the Podcast
it
that we did
sound familiar.
In my old bedroom with a guest that she would send her panties to people. And I was racking my brain.
We definitely did talk to someone who did that.
And she was like, yeah, I get paid tons of money and I send them my underwear.
But it was through like a site. Yeah, it wasn't like people were approaching her in bars.
Right.
It was like she sent them in somewhere and then they
It wasn't
went out.
PayPal. Like she...
Right. It wasn't a Craigslist situation.
Right. It was her picture, her like little bio, and then like a picture of her wearing the underwear, I think. And then...
I don't even think it was that.
It wasn't even that, huh? Interesting. Because we joked that you would just go to Target and buy new underwear.
Right.
I remember it so clearly, but yes,
so
it was
clearly,
so long ago that I don't remember.
Definitely somebody did say that.
Because I remember we would have guests on, and a lot of times you and I would be like, oh, yeah, yeah. We were like, nod our heads, but inside we were in like, what? Like,
what?
Huh? I think it was one of those times where I was like, oh, yeah, that's like, not, you don't want to make them feel weird, so they keep talking, but in your head you're like, wait, you did what?
Don't do that!
And then every, yeah,
but
then,
even that's a different situation. Right. The person's never seen you. They could live in a different country.
Right.
Like,
yep.
No.
So you had some stuff that you wanted to talk about relationship wise, right?
I got a couple different
things. This has
got
us getting into the relationship part of the show.
Okay.
And I have some stuff too that I wanted to bring up, but I want to hear what you have to say more.
Well, someone asked such an interesting, one of my clients asked such an interesting question the other day, and I wanted to bring it up on here because it kind of goes along with the stuff that we talk about. But, a lot of times when people get sober and stop drinking, one of the concerns is that what is it going to do to my relationship? Like if they're married with someone that they were using drugs or drinking with, like mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first time I had someone ask me...
Let me ask you this. When you got sober,
mm-hmm.
Did you find that you weren't in a relationship, correct?
I was in a relationship.
You were.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
It didn't last.
Because?
Because he was still mm-hmm. doing all the stuff mm-hmm. and I wasn't able to do all the stuff, especially in like the early days mm-hmm. of sobriety. Like it's so delicate. And like in the early days, it's like hard to stay sober.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's hard to not go back to the things that you're mm-hmm. used to doing.
Yes.
So to have someone doing it constantly and around you all the time, like I couldn't go, in the beginning I couldn't go to bars. Now I can go anywhere, do anything. People
yeah.
can be smoking pot next to me and it's like whatever. None mm-hmm. of that's a trigger at this point. But in the beginning, like everything is like annoying mm-hmm. and grating on you. And
right.
so just to be kissing someone who tasted and smelled like beer or pot or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it was just,
yeah.
it was too much at
yeah.
the start.
Now I like actively seek that. Like this doesn't count, right?
It's a secondhand, just sucking it out of their mouth.
Love it.
Disgusting.
It's like wringing out, like their tongue wringing out a towel.
So yeah, I.
So it didn't work out.
It did not work out.
Okay.
It fizzled. Almost instantaneously.
Because if the person is like a normal person, right, then they support you, right? Oh,
right.
Cool, yeah, do your thing. If the person is an alcoholic, right, then they either have two choices,
right?
They get better. They follow your path and get sober as well, and you guys can grow together. Or they continue on with their alcoholism.
Right.
And in that case, seeing you change and be better is too painful.
Yes.
And for you to see them not is
yeah.
equally as rough.
Even if you're not judging them, they take it as a judgment on themselves.
Yeah, of course.
And I should state that the person I was with at the time was not like casually drinking
yeah.
wine
of
on the weekends.
Well, yeah. Right, because
like,
then it wouldn't be an issue. It'd be a non-issue.
Right,
you'd be like, oh, thank God.
Right.
She finally got her shit together.
We used to... you know those the reusable grocery bags that have like the slots for 6 bottles of wine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We used to go every week but fill them up with tequila bottles.
Okay.
So we would get like 6 packs
Whoa.
Of tequila bottles for the week.
Wow.
And then on top of like beer and all of the other stuff.
You
so
guys
like,
were doing 6 bottles of tequila a week?
Oh, for certain.
That's a lot of tequila.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The dude at the grocery store just assumed you guys owned a Poncho's or
right.
something.
Right. They must run a margarita stand. That's fun.
Ernie's?
So, yeah, when you're picking up 6 packs of liquor bottles, like, just for the two
pretty
of you,
aggressive,
it's,
yeah.
it's no good.
It's pretty aggressive.
It's no good.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, so that's what happened with that relationship. But for the first time, I had somebody ask me just about getting mentally well.
So this is not a non-alcoholic situation. This is someone who wants to get mentally well.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
They have a lot of trauma in their past.
Yes.
They've been through a lot of things, and instead of like kind of going to therapy or talking out or dealing with it, they've just sort of suppressed it, and they were able to move on with their lives, and they're very successful.
Like, we'll file this away and maybe deal with it later.
Right, yeah. Right. We'll just push it down and then move on with, and we'll just change the way we're living and then move on with life. So, and they have, you know, like successful jobs, successful marriage, all of these things, and have been able to move forward. But like, stuff doesn't just go away, right? Like, energy.
I wish it did.
But it doesn't. You can't.
I know.
Even if you're older and you look back and you can logically see what happened or whatever it is, unless you deal with problems, like, it's just the way that it is. Stuff exists. Like, it just exists. So if you push it down, you have to keep continuously pushing it down and using some amount of your energy to keep those things under wraps.
Yeah.
And anytime something happens in your life associated to a piece of that trauma, that old memory is going to try to make its way to the top, and you got to push it back down. And now you've got the new thing and the old thing, one on top of the other.
Right.
Eventually it's going to cause either health issues or mental issues or physical issues. Mm-hmm. So this person has been suffering from a lot of, like, recently started suffering from a lot of anxiety and started suffering from, OCD issues, which is something super common. Like, if you're trying to control your life, it's, you know, you're trying to control your emotions, control comes out as OCD. But anyway, so she asked me, she's like, you know, my husband's the same way. He's suffered a lot of trauma and he's pushed everything down, and both of us are very unemotional and we don't talk about feelings. I'm afraid that if I seek therapy or if I seek some kind of treatment, that he and I aren't going to be on the same wavelength, and it's going to negatively affect our marriage.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you tell her?
Well, it is my opinion that, particularly in that situation, that it's much easier for one person. I think one person getting sober and the other person not, that's pretty rough to move forward from. Yeah. I think that one person, you know, unloading mentally, and then the other person choosing to keep those things hidden.
Yeah.
I think that's still easy to navigate through a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least for a longer amount of time. And he might see what she's doing and see that she doesn't have to deal with that crap anymore.
Right.
And it will also teach her ways to speak to her significant other in a way that, like, invites both people to be a little bit more open moving forward. Even if he chooses not to go backwards, at least being more open moving forward, so she feels like she's in an emotionally open relationship.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, her limiting her anxiety and stress could also help with the relationship in general, right?
Yeah.
Because she's less stressed and has less anxiety.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. And that's just a really, really, really heavy weight for any human being to walk through. And I remember, like, when I was in that position, I felt like I was holding so much stuff together that if I allowed myself to feel any of it, that it was never going to stop. Like, it actually felt like it was going to kill me, or like I'd cry forever and never be able to pull myself back from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's a fear around that too. I had a huge anxiety of, like, if I open this up, like, how damaged am I going to be on the
other side? How do you come back from this? Yeah, because you're essentially just tearing down walls that you've built up to protect you.
Exactly.
And when they're gone, it's just like, now I'm just like this exposed nerve.
Right.
Ew.
Right. Am I going to hurt forever? Will I be able to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But as someone who was, you know, at the time I was on the other side of it. It wasn't things that were still going on in my life. And I was older and had a better point of view on things. So once I, like, had a good cry and scream over all of it, I was able to sit down and, like, you know, nicely file through it and, like, work out my feelings
around it
and keep what I needed to keep and let go what I needed to let go of, you know?
Right.
It's just like having a house filled with crap and you're like, you don't even know where to start. And you're like, I'm going to have to make such a mess in order to get this house in order. But once you just throw everything in the living room, you're able to put it away nicely and then throw a bunch of crap in the trash.
It's the refrigerator analogy, right?
Yeah.
Something in there smells and something in there is bad.
Right.
Get rid of everything and then start replenishing it with stuff that is good and useful and fresh. And,
yep.
So, but also it's like the worst case scenario for her is like she gets super healthy and like handles her stuff, right? It doesn't work out with her husband, but she's now healthy and like able to process things, right? And maybe not, I don't know what their, I don't know your client or whatever, but it's like now maybe out of a situation that caused her some unhappy.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-win.
Yes.
For her.
Right. Right. Well, the thing about it, you know, the thing about it is that if you as an individual getting healthy causes you to question the relationship you're in, then you're not in the right relationship.
Right.
You know?
I mean, right?
And that can be hard if you're married, if you have kids, if it's someone you've been with mm-hmm. forever. Like, that's a big pill to swallow.
Are kids involved?
No.
Okay.
You know, it's a big pill to swallow, but also you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that the step is just about getting healthy
mm-hmm.
and then dealing with what happens when it happens.
Yeah.
I think if you're thinking of getting sober, if you're thinking of going to a therapist, if you're thinking of working through all those things, the worst thing you can do is like, well, what if this happens? What if this happens?
Right.
What if
I'm not going to be able to do this.
Right. Yeah. Am I never going to be able to have a drink ever again for the rest of my life? Am I never going to be able to you know, am I going to have to tell everybody all my secrets? It's like, don't worry about everything in the whole world. Just take it little piece by piece by piece. And you can always stop if you want to stop. Mm-hmm. You can, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just go a little bit at a time and don't worry about, you know, 5 years down the road, what it's, you know, the repercussions.
What about my birthday and Halloween?
Right.
That's what I did. I was like, I'm not going to drink on Halloween.
Right.
It's like, yeah, the Tuesday in October.
Right.
You know,
right.
Relax.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I hope that she does. Is she going to look into it?
I have no idea.
All right.
We'll
keep us posted.
We'll see. It just was an interesting question that was proposed that I never really thought of before.
Well, we're pro getting outside help and bettering yourselves on this show.
Absolutely.
So if you are struggling with something like that, like, yeah, maybe the marriage does take a back seat, and maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe it gets better. But bettering yourself, I think, is most important.
Absolutely. And I think it just attaches itself to so many other things. There's a lot of like artists and musicians, I'm sure comedians and stuff too, that don't want to get their mental health in order, or don't want to get
think it'd be as good as talent.
I won't be as creative.
Won't be as funny.
Right.
Exactly.
So.
That went through my head. Am I going to be able to perform? Am I going to be able to write jokes? And if I'm not damaged and like sad, like, and it's like, oh no, it's the opposite. You can actually tune into some creative energy and do the opposite of that.
Right.
But you don't think that.
Right. But there's so many fears around taking that change. And I think it's just, you know.
Right.
If you're thinking about something that's going to make you healthier.
How can I have sex without a few drinks? Very well.
Right. Right.
You're not falling off balconies.
Right. Right. It's much safer.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Have her and her husband been together a long time?
Yes, very long time.
Hmm.
Very long time.
That was actually my kind of segue into what I wanted to talk about. And we teased it a while ago. We were talking about when does sex drop off into a relationship? Remember we were going to talk about that because you saw a woman driving.
I was driving, and it was the worst possible timing to see this too. We had just ran out of milk. And so my husband was giving the kids their bath and I jumped in the, or diapers or some, it was something that we needed immediately. So my husband was giving the kids a bath and I jumped in the car and I was in basically pajama pants and a t-shirt and rushing to the grocery store. And I'm sitting at a red light and I look in my rearview mirror and the woman behind me is kind of smiling into her rearview mirror. So it just kind of caught my eye. And all of a sudden, I see her wiggle a little bit, and she holds her underwear up to the car behind her and winks into the car behind her. So then I look back at him, obviously, and he had a big smile on his face and just made his whole day. And then they split off at when they were both going to work or they had just been on a date or whatever it was, they split off in different directions. And I was like, my poor husband, I make no effort anymore whatsoever. This woman is really doing it right.
She's doing the deal.
And I'm sure she wasn't on her way to go rush grab diapers at 7 o'clock at night, but still, right. It gave me motivation to be like, you know what? I used to be the panties in the rearview mirror girl. You know what I mean? Like, I need to step on my game
just a
little bit.
So you think they knew each other?
So oh, yeah.
I wanted it to be, like, he's, like, a complete stranger, and she, like, thinks he's cute.
They very clearly were in, like, a relationship.
And they just probably, like, he had spent the night or something, and they were going to work the next
day
or something.
Right, okay. Whatever right, it was, right, or they were both, they'd spent the day together, and now we're headed off to whatever. They clearly knew each other.
MVP.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
But, in my mind, I was like, have they been together, like... 4 weeks.
Right.
You know what?
No, that's not a 10-year marriage move.
Or is it? Is she just badass like
just
that?
Just great?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is she just great? Is she just the best of us?
So that prompted me to be... So obviously that's probably a new relationship.
Yeah.
So that prompted us to talk about like when does sex drop off in an actual like relationship?
Yeah.
And so according to a survey about the 6-month mark, more than half of couples experienced a decrease in sex.
6 months?
Yeah, like decrease. Like not, obviously it's not as much as like the first like 2 months, right? And then it says.
That's early.
Yeah. And then it says, up to a full year in a relationship is when intimacy really begins to dwindle.
Really?
So it dips a little bit at 6 months and is a noticeable difference after a year.
False. The answer is when you have children.
Well, so that prompted me to look into the top 5 reasons that happens.
Okay.
All right. And number 5 is pain. So 12.8% experience some like physical pain. And
right.
Number 4 is kids. So 31.1% being you have kids.
Yeah.
It drops off.
Yeah.
So. Number 3 is being too busy. So 50.3% of the reasons it drops off is just being too busy.
Okay.
Right? Not enough time.
Yeah.
Number 2 is work. 50.4% job interferes in sex relations.
Okay.
Okay. And number 1 with 71.5% is being too tired.
Being too tired?
Being too tired.
But aren't
Honey,
you too
I'm
tired
exhausted.
From being too busy? Aren't you tired from working too
well,
much?
Well, one's work-related, one's just maybe old age tired, right? And then one is...
Old age?
Or whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's testosterone issues there or, like, age women issues that, you know, that's lumped into being too tired.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not in the mood, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah.
Those all just seem to all go together. If you're too busy, you're either too busy because you have kids or you're working or you're doing both. And you're probably tired from all that stuff going on.
You don't see them, right? So being too busy could be like, military or, you know.
Well, right, but that's work.
Right. Yeah, it's true. That's work.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you're out of town, you're out of town for work.
Right.
So you're too busy and then you're tired from traveling.
So the top 3 could be lumped into one.
Right. The top 4 could all
top
be lumped into one.
Being too tired. Work,
everything other
being
than
too
pain
busy.
Is just like overlapping.
Kids. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, thought that was interesting.
It is.
Kids,
it is.
I would put it number 1.
It's, yeah. Yeah. Because so. they take all of your energy and all of your energy and attention.
Yeah. So, what can you do to spice it up?
It's gotta be a conscious effort. Like... I'll be honest, for me, it's not ever been something that I've had to consciously put effort into until I had kids. Like, it was something that just, like, naturally I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I had kids, all of my time, all of my energy, you're being touched all day. You know what I mean?
Right?
Like just touched all day long and talked to all day long that, like, it's just, like, just no one touch me.
Right.
Like, let's just be quiet and not touch me.
Right.
Please.
I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but I can see how that would be, like, an issue. Like, you've got twins, so you've got 4 hands on you all day.
Right.
When your husband comes
me.
On, you don't want more. You're like, just leave me alone.
Just please.
Right.
I can't have another person grabbing at me.
So all the data online is terrible. Please listen to this show for the answers and don't go digging yourself, because I spent 2.5 hours digging for information on how to spice up your sex life for this show.
Okay.
And I had to piecemeal stuff together.
Right.
But the majority of the data out there is atrocious.
It's always crazy, elaborate
it's
trash.
Bananas.
So
food,
No.
Goddamn.
No.
Find his G spot.
No.
Can we stop with that? Can we stop with the finding his G spot advice? I'm a single man. I'm not closed-minded. If I'm with a woman and she wants to find my... I'm going to find your G-spot. Like, okay, hold on a second. Right. Like, we need to have a conversation. Right.
Let's everybody calm down.
You wouldn't go on a cross-country road trip without a map.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't want you to just find it like you've lost your keys.
Right. Let's all take our gloves off.
Can we open Google?
Right. Let's all just settle down.
You're going to take a left here and then we're going to go right. It's like, just surprise him by finding his G-spot. Like, don't do that.
Don't surprise anyone. Surprise is not like the best thing.
We got to have a comment. All right. I'm going to go in.
Right.
And maybe guide me a little. Like, don't just do it.
Right.
You guys wouldn't do that to a woman.
Right. Don't just put things in people. You know what I mean? Don't just put things in people.
So the other stuff was like, you know, God, it was just all atrocious. Tie them up, you know, try whips and like.
No. Don't do any of that.
No one's doing that.
Everyone settled down.
So I piecemealed stuff together.
Here, let me do my bit first and then we'll see the overlap.
Okay.
So for women, for all the women that I speak to, it is always that they feel disconnected from their partner.
Great.
Maybe they work separately, the other person works too much, they've started doing, you know, like there's a separation between you and the other person. And that makes a woman not want to be intimate.
Yep.
In general, women want to feel connected to their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that will cause them to be attracted to their partner, mm-hmm. and that will cause them to want to be intimate with their partner. So do things together that you liked doing together in the beginning of your relationship. The things that basically like make you and your partner friends,
mm-hmm.
do those things.
Okay.
Be thoughtful and make the person feel special.
Okay.
And make the person feel attractive without it becoming sexual.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. You know, that's beautiful. Notice their new dress, their hair, all of that basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or
that's all great.
You know, just saying thank you, being appreciative, all those kinds of like connections, that's going to get a woman to feel more connected and then therefore want to be physical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Generally for men, right, it's more of like a physical thing,
yeah.
or not being like berated all the time,
yes.
that type of thing.
Yes.
Told what to do. They want to feel that connection as well. So that will come more of like an actual interaction, like physical connection. Again, appreciating him for what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Physical touch,
mm-hmm.
you know, anything that's going to, underwear in the rear view mirror, those
yeah.
types of things. Flirtation. That's basically what I want to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Flirt with your, whoever you are, if you're dating a man, you flirt with your man,
mm-hmm.
and whoever you are, if you're dating a woman, make her feel appreciated and connected to you.
Yeah. 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 I mean, as a guy, like, we love to be, like, sometimes, like, yeah, sometimes we just get busy, and we're tired, and we're working, and we're stressed, and sometimes all it takes is a woman to, like, say a thing, or, like, touch you the right way, and you're like, oh, yeah, like
yeah, that. Yeah, I'll do that.
Right, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, I'm not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know? So some of that, there's an overlap. Some of this more practical stuff by just, like, learning new sex positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's try this. Hey, I saw this thing. Let's try this.
Yeah.
A lot of it is just communication, though, right?
Yeah.
So most of the stuff here is communications, right?
Yeah.
Talking about a new sex experience, exploring his or her fantasies, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
talking about, like, what you're into and not being afraid to say that, because a lot of people are afraid of being judged and being thought that they were weird, right?
Right.
So having just... You don't have to even act out the fantasies, but sometimes just communicating them
right.
is enough to spark that. And it says use toys, which I think is nice. Like if it's
right.
stagnant, you can bring in some stuff like that.
If it doesn't intimidate your partner.
Right. You don't want to bring anything crazy. Again,
right.
you don't want to like a sex swing or if that's what you're into, cool. But like some weird.
Well, I'm saying more like. Sex swing's great because that's both of you using it together. Something that you guys can use together as opposed to bringing in a giant dildo.
Right, exactly.
That's going to make
exactly.
people feel like they're not
right.
doing something.
This is more
correct.
Like if the woman is taking her a long time to get in the mood, you can do something like that.
Right.
You know, okay. Try switching your role by being dominant if you're normally submissive or
mm-hmm.
submissive if you're normally dominant, which
mm-hmm.
I thought was great. And this, jump in the shower with him. Ugh. I love this.
Do you?
I love this. Yeah. And it's it's not even talking about shower sex.
Oh, okay.
It's just like that act of like.
Gotcha. As like amazing. A flirting. Gotcha. Amazing. Okay. Yeah.
Flirt with your partner. So that's kind of what you were talking about. Talk dirty. Mm-hmm. Dress up for each other. And that's not, they're not talking about lingerie or anything like that. It's right. Like getting dressed up and doing something that you right. like and looking nice. And yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not being in pajama pants.
And... all of the time. Right. Yeah. Right. Getting milk at the grocery store.
Right.
Build anticipation. That's kind of what you were talking about. Flirting with your man, like sending texts while they're at work.
Yeah.
Asking for directions, which I thought was kind of cool.
During.
Before, after having that open conversation of like, hey, we've been doing this thing for a long time.
Right.
Do you like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then avoiding routine.
Yeah.
Which I thought was all great advice. And I had to go through so much garbage advice.
To get pieces.
A few things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't think it takes much. You know what I mean? No. It's just a little effort to get back on track. Because if you're with this person, you were there eventually. Mm-hmm. You know that spark and attraction lies between you. It's just making minor shifts of like taking your mind off. Or consciously making the decision of like, okay, when this person gets home or when they're at work, I'm going to take 5 seconds to send a text.
Right.
You know what I mean? Instead of worrying about the 10,000 other things that are on my plate.
And that's going to change the mindset of both of you for the rest of the day.
Right.
Like, if I'm off somewhere and I get that text, like, oh man, now I got something to look forward to.
Right.
I got some pep in my step. My day's a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Yep. It just doesn't take much.
You don't got to bring in whipped cream and hot oils and whips and and just digging back there.
Right. Right.
Come on.
Right.
Unless you're a doctor, don't just find it.
You're so upset by this.
It's just so intrusive. It'd be like if you were reading an article and it was like, guys, want to change it up? Stick it in her ass without asking. Huh? Just put it in her butt. You'd be like, no.
Please don't do that.
Surprise him. Surprise him with a little finger in the back door. Like,
no, that's not how you surprise people.
Relax, Cosmo.
That's not how you surprise people.
That birthday. Surprise! Well, it definitely spiced it up, but no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was all, I think that's all great advice.
Yeah.
Wow, we covered a lot today.
We did. All over the map.
Man, we went from dead birds and two penises to getting therapy to get better. Hopefully we help somebody out today with spicing up the, try some of this stuff this weekend and report back to us.
Yeah.
Let us know how it worked.
Yeah. Set an alarm on your phone.
Send us pics.
To remind you. Send us pics?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Whatever you guys are into. Listen, because I'm going to be on the road for 3 weeks. I'd like our listeners to send us healthy pictures of their sex. Like, what's wrong with that?
No.
I kind of don't want to chop this up into two episodes. Can I just release it twice, 2 weeks in a row? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Either way, guys, that's it. That's our show, or shows. Depending on how we want to do this.
We'll see.
Instagram at Justin Comic. YouTube, The Justin Foster. We'll see you when I get back. Ooh. All right. We'll talk later. All right. Good talk, everybody.
So awkward.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.